Our first guest is Tony Roman. Hello, Tony.
Good morning or good afternoon.
Yeah, I know this is a terrible time. It's 6 o'clock in the morning, or maybe 6:20 right now. It's not my time. When do you normally get up?
Almost around this time, around 6:30, I would say. So
okay,
target. We're okay. Yeah, it's great to be with all the freedom fighters around the world who are watching and tuning in.
Yeah, this is the only way to go. We've got to connect with each other and support each other. And in the end, that'll make the difference. That plus sure. The spiritual level, which seems to be more and more important. It's not just the legal level. You're not even using any lawyers for your fight, are you?
No. Mm-hmm. No, like I always say, to stand up and fight, you don't need lawyers. To run interference, you don't need politicians. You just need fighting spirit. And I think at some point, if you get arrested or, you know, if you have a legal case and you want to, you know, figure out how to navigate through it and learn how the court systems work, you want to hire one or, you know, but you can do the research yourself and figure it out. So, you know, in this country, you know, what I've done, you know, and I've explained this is that I don't give the courts authority over me, so I don't even show up.
Yeah, because you're relying on your God-given rights, more or less, on the Constitution and what, and on your right to keep your business open, make money, and work with your customers. That's it.
Well, for me, I've made this clear many, many, many times since day one. We've never made it about the business. We've never talked about making money or staying open for the sake of making money or paying our bills or rent or whining about any of that. We've made it about freedom only. So, So we basically committed our business as a, you know, as a battleground in this fight and, putting everything at risk, laying it all on the line. And that's what you have to be willing to do. I tell people all the time, it's not a fight if there aren't consequences. You have to accept the consequences when you step into the ring to fight. So for us, it's never been about business. It's never been about being open for the sake of doing business. It's been being open for the sake of making a point, you know, standing on principle, and what that means to us and to people watching.
Yeah, and for people who have not come across Tony Roman and his fight yet, just to let them know, you have I think it's an Italian restaurant in, where is it exactly located?
Huntington Beach, California.
Mm-hmm. And you never closed your business for one day.
No, never. We've never complied with anything. Zero restrictions. We even banned masks. You can't even get in with a mask. So we did everything the opposite. You know, for example, when they imposed a curfew, we extended our hours. And you know, we do those kinds of things. You know, basically, you know, it's like counterpunching. You know, when they hit at you, you got to hit them back 10 times harder with your actions. You got to punch them in the face with your actions. Then they realize that they're in for a fight. And when you do it almost, you know, at times with a smile and, you know, and a wink, because when you hit somebody in the face and they smile at you, then they know they're in, you know, they're in for a battle. Mm-hmm. So as we were talking about earlier, instead of resisting, we attack the lockdowns. Mm-hmm. And we don't allow any remnants of the lockdown, any evidence of it inside our business. And like I tell people, we've kept our business vintage America. When you walk in there, you feel like it's old America, which is only, you know, basically a year ago, pre-March 19th, 2020 for us in California.
And the last time we spoke, you told us that people are coming to have dinner at your restaurant from not just the Huntington Beach or L.A. area, but from all over the country, more or less, right?
Yes. You know, at first when we did it, you know, we knew, or I knew that there'd be a good chance that we could lose our business, that people would never show up. And in the beginning, that's the way it was. People were still concerned, you know, when they were reading and watching the news about this pandemic of fear, and they wouldn't show up. So, but over time, as you know, as the story spread, patriots heard about it, and they drove from everywhere. We've had people even fly in from everywhere. So, you know, now it's a different story. You know, I tell people it's like a 1776 tavern, you know, like you would have seen back in the 1700s when George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, and all the rest of them would hang out inside a bar and drink. And I tell people that I think these tyrants, they wanted to target restaurants and bars because they knew the history of this country. That's where the rebellions started. That's where the patriots gathered. So they wanted to keep us separated. So when you walk into our business, you'll see patriots connecting and meeting every night, organizations formed. We've seen political campaigns launched there. I mean, it's unbelievable. You know, the feeling when you walk in there is a lot of spirit, and it's pretty electric. Gina can tell you about it.
Mm-hmm. It really is, Reiner. I mean, it's become it's not just that there's great food there, because there is, but it's a place where sort of all this chaotic and negative energy gets transmuted, almost like when you walk right into the restaurant itself. And it's not political, it's patriotic, it's, you know, a love for freedom and people coming in to connect with other people who feel the same way. And it's just, there's nobody who has done what Tony has done the way he has done it. Not one single person. And I keep looking in the US or anywhere else. And it's an attack strategy, and it's a refusal to back down no matter what. And part of, I think, what's going on is, you mentioned sort of the spiritual aspect of things. And I think what's happening is a lot of people are wrapped up in the mind piece, in the knowledge piece, and what the data is, what's the science behind this, and the lawyers and stuff. And I love you guys, but you know, I also work with lawyers every day. But it's with what I'm seeing that makes Tony very different in all of this is he has a faith outside of those things and a belief in God and spirit. And that was one of the first things they took away from us in this lockdown, was the ability to gather, to be together. So here we are gathering in rolling 1776 style, as Tony likes to say. And we're gathering inside this place. It's become like church. And people have to take back their belief systems in something outside of themselves, bigger than themselves, whatever you are, whatever your religious belief is, because I think that is part of how we win this war, is to know that there's something greater than us and to rely on that. And that's what I watch Tony do all the time. He's like, I don't care what the lawyers say. I don't care what the science is. I don't care what any of that is. It's like a laser beam of truth.
Let us.
Yeah, so. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, let us give people a taste of the unflinching, unrelenting Tony, because we have a short video clip. I think it's 10 minutes long or so.
You want me to explain it first?
Yes, please.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when I have court dates, I don't show up. And the reason why I don't show up is because I refuse to go on bended knee, give them authority over me where I feel like they don't have any. Look, this is the video you're going to see is a response to the ABC, which is the Alcohol Beverage Control Board in the state of California. They have a heavy hand, and Gavin Pelosi, as I call him, the tiny tyrant in Sacramento, he made them part of his strike team, and he understands that when you hold the liquor license, it's very valuable. So what they did is they went around bullying people, threatening to revoke the license and shut the business down. You know, for us, you know, we've never committed an alcohol related type of a crime. There's no underage drinking. There's no narcotics being sold there, or prostitution, or gambling, any of that stuff. Disorderly house, none of that. So for me, I felt in relation to the pandemic of fear, they don't have any authority over us. So I decided I'm not going to show up. And instead, I wait till they gather for me to show up, expect me to show up. And instead, I fire off a video of me shaming them and telling them why I'm not coming and challenging them and mocking them. And so the one you're going to see now is actually the third one, because I had two other court dates. And then the third one, the one you're going to see, is the one now I sent to the director of the ABC, who runs the entire state agency. He's the one that's appointed by the governor, Gavin Pelosi. And, you know, he's appointed by him, and he works underneath him. So, you know, their minds are made up, and I know that. So, I mean, what's the use? So instead, when I heard that the judge finally recommended to the director that they punish us, and then I explained what the punishment is, he now has it sitting on his desk and he can decide whether to authorize the punishment, dismiss it, or increase it. So I think, you know, when I sent him this video in response to it, I think he was surprised by what I said. And that's and this is the video.
Okay, let's hear it. Let's see it, rather. I'm going to make sure that it really.
And these are just parts of it. These are just segments of it. This is not the whole thing.
It's all right.
Just bits and pieces of it. Yeah.
Very good. Yeah.
It's without sound.
Nee.
Oder?
Die Zuschauer hören das.
Unfortunately, almost all other businesses, if not every single one of them, across the state and even the country on day one, when ordered to comply with lockdown threats, did exactly that. Most complied fully, others at minimum complied on some level and for at least some period of time. And there were even more who were so frightened, they shamefully enforced above and beyond the empty mandates. All of them scared to lose what they worked so hard for, with no regard for what's most important, disgracefully surrendering their liberties in exchange for promised security, in essence, making a deal with the devil, except for one. By now, you surely know about us. You see, we aren't talking heads who put nothing at risk. We aren't paid so-called patriots financially benefiting for the stand we take. We aren't compromised, having an allegiance to anyone, any group, or any entity. We are simply men of action, with only an allegiance to God and country, this country. We are Basilicos Pasta y Vino. And because our stand is pure and true, we are the only restaurant, bar in California, maybe even the country, that has in a style of open, bold, and aggressive defiance never complied for one second with any of the Chinese Communist Party-inspired lockdown orders and mandates you try and help enforce since they began in California on March 19, 2020. Because tyranny has no place in this country or any other, we have ignored your petty threats of retaliation. And because your behavior is treasonous, we haven't resisted lockdowns, but we have attacked them. We have openly defied by operating fully and boldly inside and out with zero restrictions. And also, unlike all others, have even publicly taunted Gavin Pelosi and state agencies like yours when doing so. We aren't like the others you have faced who have just begun fighting when we are already in round 10, 11, and 12 of this battle. And when they do still only dare to defy in an attempt to win small and partial victories. We didn't wait 15 days or even 15 seconds. We instead stepped into the ring when the bell rang for round one on March 19th, 2020. We intend to walk you all down into the corner where you and your co-conspirators of tyranny will either throw in the towel or we knock you out. And we will never tire until that happens. But we know you will. You see, Eric, and everyone watching, in most wars, it is our military men and women who are sent off to bravely defend our freedoms. But in this one, your mini-master has declared war on churches and small businesses, especially restaurants and bars. He has chosen to target all of us as his enemy in this battle. Is it because he and his gang of fascist tyrants across this nation know that throughout American history, it is in the houses of worship where people pray together? And taverns where people eat and drink together, where patriots gather and rebellions are organized? No matter the reason, because he has targeted all of us this time, it's the obligation of every American business and church to dedicate itself as a battleground. This time, we must be the ones who step up and volunteer as the soldiers for freedom in this fight. Again, also unlike all others, as I've said since day one, our defiance has never been about the right to work, or run a business, or pay a rent, or pay our employees, etc. And since this nonsense began, I have never once whined about trying to save our business. Our stand has been about something far more important, only being about defending American liberty and freedom. And as I have also made clear in this fight, we have pledged our business as a constitutional battleground, risking everything, laying it all on the line, willing to sacrifice it all to do our part in helping preserve our great country as we knew it, and all it has stood for since its founding. We have and will always do so in honor of our nation's founding fathers who risked everything to gift us the protections of our God-given freedoms and our brave soldiers who have given their lives defending them since. We salute them. You see, Eric,
We view this fight between us as a battle of wills. The tyranny your agency supports and looks to help impose and enforce versus our will to defend freedom and to destroy any remnants of your lockdowns wherever they exist. We will never appear and stand before you to answer for the ridiculous, childish, make-believe charges you have against us, granting you authority over us where there is none. And that is why instead we still publicly stare you down and everyone else associated with lockdown tyranny, and while doing so mock you for your clumsy goose-stepping comedy. After all of the time, funds, and resources you have all wasted for over 1 year, and the threats made by your master, your agency's judges, prosecutors, and agents to destroy businesses and livelihoods for defying mandates, especially in the manner we have. Your courts and Judge D. Hubel, is that even a real name, now recommends that you consider authorizing to only punish us, would get this everyone watching, only a 30-day suspension, seriously? As we thought, you have no real will. You don't believe deeply in what you're doing compared to our belief in what we are doing, because evil is on your side and God is on ours. So here is my challenge to you, Eric. Although I have zero respect for you as an American for your subjugation to the tiny tyrant in Sacramento who has tried attacking small businesses like a yappy teacup chihuahua trying to nip at our ankles, I would have more respect for you as a man if you at least try and act like you believe in what you have been doing and follow through on your BS threats by making a real attempt to revoke our license as you threaten. You will have two chances to do so, showing us all who you truly are. The recommended punishment that now sits on your desk and as a judgment for the second round of charges against us now also makes its way through your court. Your actions have helped ravage businesses and personal lives, because you apparently believed in this pandemic of fear. So if you truly believe, at least be a man of honor and punish as you promised. Because in this face-off, you are not just looking across the ring at just any opponent. Honor for us means everything. And because of that, we took you seriously. And that is why we have been willing to take all incoming fire from every direction, because of our stand. So don't be afraid-o, like the little dictator in Sacramento, who I have been taunting all along. Now I dare you to be a man of your word and go ahead and show us by dropping the hammer. Try and make the consequences you promised worth our sacrifices in this fight. Try and make us an example. You couldn't choose a better symbol of lockdown defiance and defender of liberty and freedom over the past year to step up and punish. Here I am, just one man, standing against the great power all of you diminutive despots think you wield. And remember, although I'm just one man, my stand represents millions of American patriots. So go ahead. Here's your chance to try and punish us all. Come on, bring it. As the final judgments against us lay on your desk, awaiting your approval until they are official, what will you do? Go ahead. Revoke. It would be a badge of honor for us. And if you don't have the guts to prosecute us, as your agency promised, then finally do what's right and confess that you have no authority over us and all others in this matter. You see, what you're not getting is that no matter what you do, we still win. Why? I promised to defy no matter the consequences, that we would proudly sacrifice it all to stand for freedom by never complying with any arbitrary orders created out of thin air by the tiny tyrant. We have done so since day one, stonewalling all enemies of freedom during the lockdowns. We knew, now proven, by your agency's proposed measly 30-day suspension, that unlike our true and real pledge to make sacrifices to defend freedom, your threats to destroy it were built on a house of cards. So we have called your bluff, and we won't stop until we blow the whole thing down. On behalf of your master, you have cried wolf, intentionally spreading your pandemic of fear among most. But what you didn't count on as a result was the rise of the many new lions and lionesses your march towards fascism has created. I have seen them in person, and they are impressive. They have come from everywhere to stand with us, and depending on your decision, you and your gang of jackals just might soon see them too. and you will then get to witness their ferocity to defend our American way of life for yourself. We're ready for battle. Are you? So to all of you watching from the sidelines, especially the men shaking in your boots, frozen in a state of fear, doing nothing for your country and your fellow Americans, and worse, emboldening the enemy of American freedom with your embarrassing subjugation, shame on you. You, though, still have time, but it's now or never. Find your honor and courage, be a patriot, and stand with all of us.
Okay, we're back on. Now, you just said, Tony, that you're not one to pick fights, but you are standing your ground. How do people react to this? How do the patrons react to this?
They could, I mean, you'd be surprised how many times people will walk in there in tears. It's amazing what it represents to them. And like I was explaining to you when we were off air, you know, the difference is we've never made it about our business. We've always made it about what being open represents to people. And they see the business not only as good food, but they see it as something that represents what they believe in. So, you know, when you walk in there, you feel it immediately. You feel the patriotism. You feel it, you know, you feel the strength and the courage among my team. You know, and you know, the people feel like it, you know, almost like it's like we're speaking for them, you know. And I didn't realize that at first. We took a stand just because, like I said, I felt, you know, I didn't feel upset about being in a position where I had to fight these people. I felt so blessed and excited that I got to go into battle with these people and got to expose them and go to war with them. You know, I'm not in the military, but this is my opportunity. And I've always said that I think that in other wars, it's always the soldiers who go off and fight. But in this war, the mini tyrants have, you know, and their Gestapo, their mini Gestapo, they have targeted businesses as the enemy. So it's the obligation of businesses to be the soldiers in this fight. I have people, I have veterans of wars that come in all the time and say, well, what we're doing is just as important, sometimes even more important than what they're doing overseas, because we're fighting the enemy within. We're fighting the domestic enemy, which is even worse. It's like the snake in the door. So when I say make no compromise, stand your ground, don't give an inch or they'll take 100 miles, that's exactly why. Because so many people have fell asleep at the wheel, taking their freedoms for granted and pursuing their selfish interests. And as the enemy continues to conquer more and more grounds of freedom, you know, you look the other way, you say, okay, it's just a small thing. It's a small thing. It's a small thing, until one day you wake up and you've surrendered without even realizing it. And you're now self-imprisoned. And you say, what just happened? So when people, you know, I went to a meeting where these people were contesting these vaccine passports in Orange County, California, which is in our backyard. Mm-hmm. And I looked around the crowd and somebody came up to me and spoke to me about it. And went, wow, look at this crowd. Look how big it is. And I said, yeah. And everyone here should blame themselves for even having to be here on a Tuesday, because they allowed these people to encroach on their freedoms for so long, mm-hmm. you know, and now they have to fight. And that's why we took a hard stand in the beginning, banned the masks too, because the masks represent the lockdown. The masks, to me, were the greatest weapon of all mm-hmm. that they used. Mm-hmm. And the masks now have turned into vaccines. Do you think if people would have done like what we have done and banned them, and if they had done that, these enemies of freedom would have never even had the courage for a second to think to then try to push for vaccines. They would have thought, no way. People won't even wear, they're not even wearing masks. You know, so you will still, you know, when you're in the restaurant with us, you'll still see the show, we call it, and people try to walk in with a mask. You'll see what happens. I've had members of our staff throw their own mothers out with their masks on. You know, seriously, two guys have thrown their own mothers out of there. That thought maybe they could get in. You know, oh, it's okay. I'm the mother of one of the, you know, son, you know, one of the kids that works there. No, they'll stop them at the door themselves. Say, mom, you can't come in. Sorry, take off the mask. That's how you have to be. You can't have any compromise at all. Zero. You can't give them any ground at all. And when they come at you, you got to punch them in the face with your actions so hard where they walk around, where they walk away bloodied in the fight. And I say that even when you when you go into a store, I see people already reaching for the mask in their pockets before they're even asked. So they're waving the white flag of surrender before they even walk into a business. And you have to walk in there and make them fight you so hard. You need to make them tackle you to the ground and put it on your face to the point when the struggle is over, they walk away feeling bloodied by the fight and hobbled. And they say to themselves, I'm never going to do that again. In fact, if this is part of my job description here, maybe I'm going to quit. I'm not going to do this job anymore. We have to wear them down. You know, you mentioned earlier about a guest, I think, that you had that said he was depressed or tired or worn out.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a saying, there's an NFL football coach, you know, American football. He had a saying that said, fatigue makes cowards of us all. And basically what he means is, you know, everyone is a tough guy until they get fatigued, mm-hmm. you know, in the fight. And, that's when the fear starts to creep in. So you must prepare yourself for optimal health, meaning mental, physical, spiritual, socially too, you know, and only then are you going to be in the condition to impose your will, on the opponent. So you have to maintain your health, you know, and you have to maintain your, you know, like I said, all four of those, and then you'll be ready to fight. So, you know, when people walk in and ask me all the time, Tony, you okay? How you feeling? You know, you holding up all right? Or if they say to me, hey, Tony, I know you've been through a lot. I actually get offended because I'm not going through a lot. I'm making them go through a lot. I'm wearing them down. You know, I think I told you this last time I was on with you, you know, when they don't fight me hard and they back off and it's quiet for a while, I get bored. I want to fight them at every chance that I get, you know? So,
That is the only way to go. In slightly different words, this is precisely what a rabbi from New Jersey told us, and this is precisely what a Holocaust survivor by the name of Vera Sharaf told us. Do not give them an inch, because once you do that, that's like caving in, and that's like you're giving up almost. Even though you think maybe I can get away with this, or maybe this is just a little something that's not going to really bother me. No, there's no basis for this. You must not let them encroach on your rights in any way. Perfect.
And yeah, you know what, Reiner, I wanted to piggyback on something Tony said. You said something the other day, Tony, that really struck me because I believe this too. To the master, the beginning and the end.
Yeah.
And way back last year, I mean, I knew this was going to become the symbol, because if you take them off, the world looks normal. Nobody's sick. Nobody's really dying. This is such a hoax. It's such a crime against humanity and such a hoax. So the masks, now the masks are turning into, oh, well, if you get vaccinated, we'll take them off. But that's the thing. People have become completely exhausted. People that were standing and fighting before, they're now throwing up their hands and saying, oh, God, you know, this is almost over. So what? Let me just do it. And I know that is part of the strategy of the enemy. But we have got to recognize that the masks have more meaning than people. We're fighting some of the bigger scale things that are very important, but that simple thing is so profoundly impactful. And if people would just take them off, say no, not no, because that's another thing I have a huge issue with is people making excuses for why they can't or won't wear them. When people will ask me to put them on, I just say no. And I say, I will not comply. And I just keep walking. And if they try to stop me, I will say, put your hands on me. That's assault. And I just keep on walking. And I get aggressive. I get really aggressive because I won't do that. But they are the beginning and they are the end. And they started this whole idea of fear and the pandemic of fear. And now the end is, oh, we'll get vaccinated. The masks and the vaccines are so tied together. Get vaccinated and now you can take off the mask. And, I just want to say back to the restaurant piece, Tony, I wonder if are the fronts of your jackets getting worn out, because he is hugged so much in that restaurant all night long. And I'm like, you know, worn out on the front. It's but anyway, the masks to me also represent what we're going through. And if we can just encourage people, I watch the same thing. It's Pavlovian. They start to approach a store. There's a story coming into Tony's restaurant, a friend of mine who knows the deal. We brought her daughters. And this actually was a moment of truth for me, because I'm not around little kids anymore. My daughter's 26. And I had no idea. It really brought me to tears when I saw this. We arrived at the restaurant, and as soon, it was a 16-year-old and an 11-year-old. As we got out of the car, literally as they opened the door, they both put their masks on. It's like what Tony was just saying. And when I told them they had to take them off, they looked at me with this cognitive dissonance of like I was speaking Chinese. What do you mean take it off, not put it on, right? And the little girl, the 11-year-old, was terrified. There was so much we had to go through. And I told her, I said, we can't stay here if you don't take it off. We have to leave. And then it was around the chin. And it was like, no, you can't have it visible. It's got to go. But the fear that I saw in her eyes was a moment of truth for me. We're destroying a generation of children because of this. And the masks are the key.
If the mask would have went away the first day, the thing would have been over. The mask is the whole thing. And we won't even let people, when they walk through the door and they try to keep it on, and we tell them, take it off. They take it off. And even if it's hanging off their ear, we say, it's not good enough. Take it all the way off. And if they hold it in their hand, we say, it's not good enough. Stick it in your pocket, throw in the trash, or put it in your purse. We don't want to see it at all. It's an insult to me. I don't want to see it. And, when she talks about people putting their mask on and surrendering before they're even asked, I'm especially now challenging men, because men are meant to lead, and, their families, and people who are weaker than them, especially are depending on them to lead, especially in times of chaos. And so many men I see are just, I just can't believe what I'm seeing. And I think it's, it's not too late, but they need to stand up now. And when you, next time when the fight comes, you need to step in the ring in round one. I say this a lot. When you fight around 11 and 12, the fight's over and you're swinging at nobody. They already knocked you out. They've already punked you, basically. And you're swinging at nothing, and your punches don't have any impact. Your punches have impact in the early rounds. And, I don't know if this is true, but I feel this way, you being in Germany. I feel like when this thing happened, the rest of the world was watching America to see how we would react, in this fight, good versus evil. I think that, people have always around the world have looked to us to see how we would handle it. Oh, Americans, it's all about freedom. They're freedom fighters. They're patriots. It's their spirit to fight. And we instead failed. We failed miserably. And I can't believe it. It's so disappointing to me. And I think back to when you and I, when we last spoke, we talked about the Berlin Wall. And I remember you mentioned it kind of felt like that when it was coming down, you said. And I remember saying to you, I wonder if those people thought, after 30 years of suffering, when it was coming down, did they think to themselves, why do we wait 30 years? Why do we, why do we fight the first day, the first week, so we didn't have to endure any of this? But what happened was, I studied it. And Khrushchev, when he was considering building the wall, he was basically hesitant about it, because he feared that America, that there would be huge Western pushback, and that he would have, there'd be retaliation. And then he saw, it was an interview with John F. Kennedy at the time, and Kennedy said in the interview publicly that he would not actively oppose a wall. And that's where he was emboldened. So the point is, that's why I say you need to stand up immediately to make them, we need to bully them. That's basically it. People have surrendered so easily because they feel fear. We need to make them feel the fear. There's more of us than there is of them. So, next time, don't be so selfish and only think about yourself. Think about your country and stand up for your country.
I do think the tide is turning, though. I do think things will probably happen first in the United States. There are a few people. I know California is a pretty bad place to be right now. I don't know how far this recall thing has gotten. I know there's enough signatures, but I don't know. Is it about to happen, or is it? What do you think?
The problem with that is, the reason why we're all in this, I don't know how things work politically in Germany. I know in Europe, there's a lot more parties that run at a time. We have two, right? Republican, mm-hmm. Democrat, sometimes an independent. But the reason why we're in this mess, too, in addition to everything else I mentioned earlier, is that people have sloppily nominated people to run. They've, yeah. they've, they, you know, they, they choose these people who are all compromised. You know, I hear people in America praising governors, even who are supposed to be Republicans and conservative. And I don't care about parties, you know, just to be clear, I'm not political. They are thanking these governors for giving back their freedoms piece by piece, like they have Stockholm syndrome. It's almost like, thank you, thank you, thank you. It's like, wait a second, these people locked you up, you know? Yeah. Instead, they should be thrown in jail. These are traitors, they're not heroes. So I think, you know, even there's a governor in Florida who people are praising all of a sudden, but he locked his state down too, and people are forgetting this. Mm-hmm. So they need, it's, you know, they can't screw this up in California, but I can already see it happening now. Mm-hmm. They're nominating candidates right now who are all compromised, you know, people who are too soft, people who have locked down their own cities, and now they're the saviors. And it just disgusts me because everyone's going to end up exactly where they are now. And when you say things like you know, when people are fighting now, hey, you know what? The damage has been done, a lot of damage. And the only thing that they look, if they want to fight now, great. They can get some practice in for the next time, okay? But it's too late to really have a big impact. Maybe they can get some practice in, so the next time it happens, they'll do what I asked and just step up on the first day, you know?
But at the same time here, we see a lot of people coming out now, you know, like there's I don't know if you told Tony and Gina about this, you know, this activity by some, you know, some German actors. They came out like doing some kind of ironic statements about like how the measures should continue forever, you know, sort of. And that caused a lot of discussion in society. Well, like, I mean, basically the government really got very upset about it, and media sort of, you know, like hopped on them.
Storm, yeah.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's because it was some really famous actors amongst them, and I think it inspired a lot of reaction to that. So I think it's, you know, there's a lot of dynamic going on at the same time. We just had an interview with basically a whistleblower, but he decided to come out with his face and name out there. You know, he gave evidence about like some, you know, how the situation in the hospitals really is. And so I think there's more and more people coming out now with like full face and full name. So I think it's a good development that we can see here.
Yeah, this is a young doctor. He's I think a neurosurgeon. And he had a choice. He could have just, you know, given us an interview with a distorted voice and behind a shield so that people wouldn't be able to recognize to identify him. But he chose not to. He said, no, I want to take a stand. And that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. That's what you're doing. That's what this guy's doing.
But I think that they need to take a pledge. I mean, if he's doing it now, he needs to take a pledge. All these people have to take make a pledge that when this happens again, because it's going to happen again, are they going to do the same thing they're doing now, almost a year and, you know, 2 months later? Are they going to do it next time on day one and not wait, you know? Because already, you know, when you take a stand now, it's like the opponent's looking at you just laughing, going, you know, I've already beat you down. I've already moved into your house. I've taken your lunch from your refrigerator, right? I've slept in your bed, you know, and I've already left, and I'll do it again because I know you won't, you know, you're not going to stop me.
That is right.
So, so next time these people who are suddenly pounding their chest and saying they're brave, they better do it next time on day one when the, you know, when things are really, really, you know, when they're taking incoming fire from everywhere, you know, and, you know, one of the things that happened since we last spoke is not only the additional, ABC charges is that we had OSHA, which is a federal agency, help, you know, it's a health inspection agency. And they came once. We stonewalled them at the door. They didn't get in. They threatened to come back with a search warrant with the police. And they did a few weeks later. And we stonewalled them again. They didn't get in. And so the point is that you need to fight when the consequences are huge, not when the consequences are small. You know, it's not a fight unless there's consequences. And it's a bigger fight when the consequences are severe, severe consequences. That's when they know that you're not afraid. When they know that they have a huge hammer hanging over your head and you still say, bring it, then they know they're in for a fight. Not when it's almost over. You know, that's all I'm saying.
But I find it's interesting, you know, like today we get approached by a lot of people on the street because they know us from watching us in videos. So today I spoke to a lady, approached me and said, Joe, I want to thank you. You've been like the light in my darkness. And, you know, thanks so much for your courage. And I said to her, you know, it's not a question of like of being courageous, because I think it's really just that. I mean, that's for me. And I think it's the same for Rainer. It's, you know, that we just have to do it because yeah. it's the right thing. It's not that I didn't even have to overcome some feeling of fear, you know, or like, oh, feeling now I have to be courageous, you know, but it's really, it was some really natural thing to do, because it's really just what I had to do, or what we had to do, I guess.
It's the right thing to do, and it's the only thing to do. That's.
But I think you felt that way because you love your freedom and you love your country. I tell people that when you make your fight bigger than yourself, you're going to find courage. It's going to be natural. You know, I tell people this, if you're in the middle of an ocean, you know, on a boat, and somebody tells you to jump in, you probably won't, you know, especially if it's shark infested. But if you're, you know, if your child falls in, you're going to jump in immediately, not even think about it, because it's bigger than you. So if you make things bigger than yourself, you'll find the courage. But you can't manufacture that type of feeling. It's got to be natural. You have to really have deep love for your freedom and for your country. Then it'll be instinctive. Otherwise, you're just, you know, you're just trying to talk yourself into it. Mm-hmm. And
Last time we were, you and me and Tony were together, Rainer, but now that we're talking about courage, I remember I said that there was a crisis of courage, and I feel like that's very much still the case, and maybe even more so since I think we did this in December. And the problem, I think, that it still needs to be solved, and we can all maybe put our heads together, is how do we get people to cross over that threshold of what the example Tony just gave of, you know, jumping in the water to save your child? Because what's happening now is jumping in the water to save your child. And yet people are still showing up. I've had an issue with protests since last year when they first started, because endemic in that is the idea that we're asking permission from these authorities, from these tyrannical, you know, dictators in whatever country you're in, we're asking them to please let us out of jail. And that authority rests within us. So when we go out into the street and we protest, I feel like they're laughing at us and saying, okay, so what? Let them have their moment. Let them make their noise. Let them party in the street. And you're wearing a mask anyway. I watch all these people show up complying, social distancing, wearing masks, and saying all these things, let us out, let us out. And what's it going to take for us to go from knowing that this is so incredibly wrong to taking a stance like what Tony's doing, what I'm doing, what you guys are all doing, because it is shark infested waters and our kids are in the water, the planet is in the water. What is it going to take for us to really activate that kind of courage that says, this is so much bigger than me? I've given up so many things, so many of us have in this last year, because this has never been about my small life. And, you know, Tony has always said his restaurant is a constitutional battleground. And I'm saying we each have to make our lives a constitutional battleground. Everywhere we go, everything we do, everything we say has to be aligned with the idea of making this all stop. You know, it's we have to find a certain level of courage where we're willing to die for it. You know, give me liberty or give me death, basically.
And don't play the game either. You know, don't play the game. I get these people come into me, into the store, you know, into the restaurant, and they'll show me these fake passports, these vaccine passports, and they think they're getting over on the system. I'm thinking, what are you doing? You're playing their game. You're still giving them authority over you, even if it's fake. It's the same thing. Throw that thing away. I don't want to see it. You know, or people that come in and talk a big game about fighting, then they tell me, oh, tomorrow I'm taking a flight. I got to put a mask on because I got to play their game. So no, you don't drive. Well, if I drive, it's going to take me too long. And, you know, my son's fighting too, but he's on a baseball team, but he's got to wear the mask, but, you know, he's got to be on the team. No, he doesn't. You know, so you're either standing on principle or you're not. You can't do it halfway. You got to do it fully. And you have to make sacrifices. Listen, people have fought and died for our country for 244 years. I'm sure for yours too, as I know. And you know, our founders put everything at stake when they, you know, when they signed the Declaration of Independence. You might know of the signature John Hancock. So a lot of times people will say, put your John Hancock right here. The reason why his signature is so famous is because when he signed, he knew that the King of England was, he had bad eyesight. So he wanted to give him the biggest middle finger he possibly could and sign his name huge on the document, showing I have no fear at all, you know? So that's the kind of courage that people need to win. The bully needs to be punched in the face, like I said, with our actions. Rallies to me are just a show. It's just a it's just like entertainment. People are partying in the streets. You can take that time, you can save that time and energy and use it to put action in place. Whether you have a business or you work for somebody, take a stand, take real action. Rallies, like Gina just said, they're just looking at their watch, watching for the enemies are looking at their watch, waiting for the rally to be over and everybody to go home. Most of the time when you see these people in Zoom meetings anyway, when people are going before them and protesting, they're eating lunch or they're texting or they're not even paying attention. They're totally insulting you. And so we have to quit wasting our time asking permission and take real action.
Yeah. Beg your pardon, Tony. Can I interfere for a second?
Yes, sir.
I don't find it only in a courage. I think it's a crisis of moral. People are not following the laws. They are following the bylaws, which are illegal in our country. So it's more about the moral and more about the integrity of the people. And it's also a crisis of the education system here in Slovakia. Yes. And the crisis of the science. Yes. So this is what I find as important.
It's a crisis of the entire system. This entire system needs to be brought down. We're going to have to come up with a new one. This is beyond repair. And the thing is, when you said they're probably, Gina, when you said they're probably laughing at us. Yeah. And you know why? Because they're thinking they don't even see that the door is open, you know? And that is ridiculous. And that's why I think this is so important that people like you, Tony, and all the others, there's not very many, but that we set an example. Sooner or later, they're going to follow us. But we can't be content with stopping this. We're going to have to go after them. So this is not going to happen again, both in civil courts and in criminal courts.
Yep. And Peter, what he said is right on about moral, you know, because people know inside when, especially people who believe in freedom and want their freedom, but they cave in. Yeah. Inside, it's for them, it's an internal struggle. And I tell people when you reluctantly hang a sign on your window that says no mask, no service, or you do temperature checks, or you embolden them with your actions and help these tyrants enforce these lockdowns. You become an enemy, you know, freedom too. And when you do that, your subjugation to them is demoralizing your soul and your spirit. And it is scarring you forever, whether you know it now or not. And you will live with it. And eventually it's going to hit you. And it will affect your self-respect. And if you have a business that's shut down, If you shut your business down and you think all of a sudden when you reopen everything's going to be fine again, you're going to have the scars of surrender all over the walls, and you're going to feel it. The customers are going to feel it. It's going to haunt you. And I actually had a guy travel all the way from Florida who saw me speak about that, and he said to me the night after he heard me say those things, the next day he complied with something. And he said it haunted him the entire night. And the next day he woke up and he remembered the words I said. He said, I will never, ever do that again. And he drove all the way from Florida to tell me that in person. It was unbelievable. He and his brother. That's about a 3,000 mile trip. And he drove just to say those things to me. So, it does haunt you. You know, especially if you're a real man, it's going to haunt you for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I think this is going to be this is going to make a difference, not just for the just like the example you just gave us. I mean, someone who listens to you and then he gets in his car and decides, well, I made a mistake. I didn't quite follow his advice, and then travels 3,000 miles across the country. That tells you that you are having an impact. Of course, you're having an impact. Everybody wants to be where you are. And I realize, of course, that many people are living their lives through you. But I mean, that's a start. Even if it takes them a while, it's a start.
Hey, I'm very moved. I'm very humbled by it all. I'm sometimes embarrassed by it. I never thought this would happen. When I took my stand, I reacted to something by instinct, and the rest is history. I never asked for any of this. I've lived a very private life before, and I've sacrificed that too. I still get threats, and people, who knows what will happen, but I'm prepared for the consequences. It doesn't matter to me. I feel like God's on our side, evil's on their side, and that emboldens me.
There's no doubt about that. There's absolutely no doubt about that. Yeah.
Right. There's something I want to say, though, and I'm kind of tough about this when I've done a couple of speaking things with Tony. What I do see happening, though, is people watch what he's doing. And like I said, I'm obsessed with this bridge between people knowing and people doing. And what happens is they watch him and they're in awe of him. And his leadership is awe-inspiring, but they fail to take the next step. I can't tell you how many things I've been to where Tony has spoken, and then I'll see those same people and they're doing the same thing, or they comply, they complain and comply. That's what I call it. They complain because they know this is all wrong. And yet they continue to go in lockstep with the agenda. So there's a lot of people that know this is the right thing to do, but don't know how. And I feel like this is something we have to solve. How do we get people to cross that bridge? How do we get them? And some of what I have learned, people have said to me, because I'm pretty fierce with my language when I'm out there and stuff. And people are like, well, I want to do it, but I don't have the words, or I don't know what to say, or I don't know what to do. And so maybe building a bridge is creating some kind of a template of some kind, meaning an example for how people can do this. Because so many times I think people want to, but they're literally being bullied by the other side here, and they won't stand up to them. So it's something that really drives me nuts, because I want to figure out how to help these people, have the tools to do it. Because Tony has been, for over a year since this started, he's been an incredible example of look what he's doing and look at the result. Nobody's touched him because he won't let them. And people won't follow his lead.
Yeah, and based on what she's saying too, I started a website a while back, Make Restaurants Great Again. It's for all businesses, makerestaurantsgreatagain.com. That's for all businesses. And all my interviews, videos that I've fired off to the government agencies, blasting them, all my stuff there. Even my interaction with the ABC when they came and approached me with the warrant, somebody filmed me, having the interaction with them and stonewalling them at the door, not letting them in. Everything is there. The story's there. And I challenge people on that site to do what we've done. There's criteria on there for businesses to follow. And I get people that call me from around the world or around the country, people around California drive down and talk to me, in person, sit down with me. And by the time I'm done with them, you can see they're fired up about what I'm saying and they're ready to do it. But then a few days later, they'll call me and say, I can't do all the things you're asking me to do. I just can't do it. I'm afraid. My wife talked me out of it. My attorney talked me out of it. Somebody's talked them out of it. And they just didn't feel to do it. Or they'll say, oh, it's almost over anyway. I'll slide through the rest of the way. Or I've invested too much money in the business, or I have too much at stake and this and that. There was one night, though, a family came in and this man was sitting in front of his wife and his son and his daughter. And he was telling me that based on what we're doing, he said he and his son have a home improvement business. They have big, big, big accounts and contracts. And he's now sacrificing contracts if it's a family that says you can't come work on our house if you're not wearing a mask, he'll reject the contract. And he says he's losing tens of thousands of dollars. And I told him, I said, look, you're going to be blessed in other ways. Blessings will come your way. And he was, as he was telling me that he and his son are doing it, and his son is proud of him, and that he's standing up and he's making these sacrifices. As he's telling me this, you could see his chest just puff out, and his wife was just watching him talk. And I said, look at your wife. Look how in love she is with you right now, hearing you stand up. Like you can see it in her face. And when I said that, he looked at her and she grabbed him and hugged him and kissed him, So, yeah, you just gotta be, you just have to be willing to make the sacrifice. I mean, too many people have fought and died for us to have freedoms around the world, to just dishonor them and throw it all away over a mask, you know?
But that's how it works. We have to, this is the only way. We cannot resort to violence. We have to lead by example. And then step by step, things will start to happen until eventually this is going to be an avalanche that no one can stop. This may happen any day now, because people are really, really, they've had it. They're fed up with this. Even if it's just because they're angry, that's a good enough reason. Anything is a good enough reason.
If we take an uncompromising stand and we fight hard, I want to say something in German. Is that okay?
Sure.
I'm going to try. Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
All right. Der Sieg ist unser.
Der Sieg ist unser. Yes. Yeah, victory is ours.
Yes.
That's it. Well, thank you so much, Tony. The next time we meet, it'll be at your restaurant.
Oh, man, I can't wait. And I hope that all of you can eventually come and see me. I would love it.
I'm working on that.
Okay. God bless you. God bless your countries and God bless America. Take care.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you.
Keep fighting.
Always. Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye, guys.
Bye-bye. Gina, take it easy.
Bye. See you soon.
Yep.
Bye, Vivian. Thank you.